Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Cam Stewart with your Fantasy Sports Radio update. Huge news in the NFL today. Not many take on the league and actually get something, but Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid have resolved their grievances with the National Football League. They will not continue to pursue their collusion lawsuit against the league after the NFL has settled with them today. Financial terms not going to be revealed due to a confidentiality agreement, but we know it's not chump change. Colin Kaepernick has been out of the league for the past two seasons. All of this, remember, dating back to 2016 when Kaepernick and Reid decided to kneel together during the pregame national anthem ceremony as a way to protest systematic racial injustices. Kaepernick opted out of his contract with the 49ers when then head coach Kyle Shanahan and general manager John Lynch took over the team in 2016. Reid remained with the team for 2017, but they didn't renew his contract after that year. Kaepernick filed his collusion case against the NFL in November of 2017. Reid then followed Kaepernick by filing his collusion case in March of 2018. Reid, a former Pro Bowl safety, was unable to sign with the team until the Carolina Panthers gave him a one-year contract three games into 2018, and he played well enough that they gave him a three-year deal earlier this month. Huge news in the NFL. The NFL settling with Colin Kaepernick. Gabe, how you doing, buddy?
Reports are, Cam. And we don't know, but unconfirmed numbers are Kaepernick's getting between $60 and $80 million.
Woo! Wow.
Which, if you figure, you look now, sort of the... I think the average salary for a quarterback is probably in the $20 million range, or let's say 15, right? So if you look, that's 3-4 years. He's essentially getting paid like $20 million a year, like he was in the league for the last few years, essentially.
Which is, truth be told,
it's fair. He really wouldn't be.
You don't think
like he really wouldn't be?
He'd be a what? How much do you think he would have made in that time?
Well, we'll talk about it in the show here. But I was thinking about it, and I'm a big Kaepernick fan. I'm pro Cap. I'm happy he won the money. Too bad he didn't get more from him. But at the same point in time, who is he right now? I don't think he's better than Tyrod Taylor is right now. Tyrod Taylor is a backup to Baker Mayfield. You know, like Colin Kaepernick, like lost his starting position to Blaine Gabbert, not due to politics. Due to football performance.
Yeah, they got tape.
And then
on
he
him.
Raised it up a notch after he wasn't the starting quarterback anymore. And once again, I'm a pro cap guy, but I'm just stating, you know, he scored pretty big, dude. Like, he made like $48 million playing in the NFL. He makes a ton of money right now from Nike. And now he just, like you said, no one beats the NFL. Donald Trump and the USFL got a dollar. You know, the concussion stuff, like, they get nothing.
Yeah,
Kaepernick walks away with $80 million. Like, he keeps winning, this guy.
Yeah, hey, man.
I was thinking about it. It's like in Pulp Fiction. It sounds crazy, but, like, it's almost like, you know, like, he was on the righteous side. You know what I mean? To get, like, religious. Mm-hmm. Like, he had the moral ground, and that's why he won, and that's why he keeps winning.
The NFL,
is he the greatest quarterback ever? No.
No.
But
no. They didn't want to deal with him.
They did collude
anymore.
Against him. Yeah, and they didn't have to, because he wouldn't even be good enough to be in the league anyways.
Well,
or he'd be a backup. Like, it you know, would be minimal that he was kneeling. It's the irony. They brought it upon themselves.
Yeah, Roger Goodell. Wow, this guy, what's he making, $52 million a year? And they just keep on shoveling it away. It's unbelievable.
It just cost them another $80, $90 million.
Yeah, $60, $80 million. We'll get the figures. Yeah, undisclosed
and
amounts.
I'm not really sure how. Listen, I'm not really sure how Eric Reid was colluded against. The guy plays in the NFL.
Oh, and he just signed a three-year deal too this month with Carolina.
He'll probably get like $10 million from the league or something. You know.
Well, we'll see. And the funny thing is, reports. I have another story. The AAF talked about Kaepernick and Tim Tebow, and both of them said, you don't believe that story? Okay, well we can talk
about
that.
No, I'll tell you why when the show starts.
Okay, wow, Morenci, he's on fire today, ladies and gentlemen. Opinions. Antonio Brown says he's going to meet with the Steelers brass about that trade request earlier today. He said no. Now Now the talks are on with Art Rooney II. The seven-time Pro Bowler under contract for the next 3 years carries a cap hit of $22 million in 2019. The Steelers say they're considering trade offers for Brown. No way they're going to release him. And Anthony Davis hurt again. Nothing new here. The New Orleans Pelican center suffered a shoulder injury in the first half of Thursday's win over Oklahoma City. He didn't return. An MRI revealing a muscle contusion. Said not to be very serious. He's going to get treatment on that injury. Status for Sunday's All-Star game unknown. And the Pelicans, more news there, Gabe. The team also fired GM Dell Demps today. He gone. So NBA All-Star festivities kicking off in Charlotte, North Carolina tonight. Things get underway at 8 o'clock with the World All-Stars taking on the USA All-Stars. USA laying 3, over under 290.5. USA moneyline 160. Team World plus 140. USA in the first half minus 1.5. 145.5.
What did All-Star the coach say?
What
did the coach say? They even won last night. I had to
pass. I know. The Pelicans were a great pick last night. It was good. And Orlando won big, too.
You don't often hear the term, dumpster fire.
Yeah.
More of like a Twitter thing or something. But see, the coach of the Pelicans is like, this whole season's been a dumpster fire.
It's like, no, they're not firing Gentry. They're not firing him, though. He gets to keep his job.
He's honest. He's like, it's a shit show. What do you want from me? Right? I've been in the league 50 years. Gentry's like coach like every team in the league.
He sure has. Stay tuned. More Red Heat Rage after this.
Join the experts live on the air every day by calling in at 844-843-6879 to join the Fantasy Sports Network. Game time decisions.
All right, let's do this thing. A lot of stuff to get to. The last show, actually, until Tuesday. We'll be off on Monday. Though Cam Stewart and George Kurtz will be getting it done.
This weekend?
On the weekend.
That's right, Gabe. 7 days a week. You inspired me, buddy. Yeah, crazy
Everybody's
stuff.
Working
for the weekend. Yeah.
You want a piece of my heart.
You want a piece of George Kurtz.
You better start.
We start at 11. We carry you to 2. Oh, yeah, we got picks. Sometimes Morenci calls in with college picks. Yeah, we're having a good time. DFS lineups, NHL picks, college picks, a whole lot more. We got the Daytona 500 game. What a week. I wake up, and I'm seeing a Kaepernick story blowing up. We'd even get to Severino and the four-year extension with the Yankees. Davis.
What, did you just get
Demps.
Up?
What? No, I didn't just get up. I'm just saying. No, it's just like, wow, like the news just went dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. It kind of like all happened minutes ago. A lot of afternoon news.
You know, it's a little ironic, though, isn't it? It's like turnabout's fair play in the sense that Super Bowl week, the NBA crushed them. Like,
true.
The NBA just like every day was some story in the NBA and news in the NBA and Davis this, LeBron James that, Lakers that, Marcus Gasol, Kyle Lowry. It was every day it was something. Now tonight, the NBA All-Star Weekend begins, and Kaepernick takes over.
Yeah.
Kaepernick has stolen the storyline.
The NFL fighting back.
That's the number one sports story. Like, there's no doubt about it. Like, people, because people either love Kaepernick, and they're like, oh, good for him. He got money. But, he's still got screwed. And there's others that are just so mad, right, that Kaepernick just got $80 million. Like, he's not that good. He sucks. He doesn't deserve the money. And you know what? There's a little, people, the thing about today's society that drives me crazy is nobody can have an intelligent, sort of rational, both sort of real debate. Yeah. You know what I mean? Hear both sides. Right away, it gets into bumper sticker politics, right? Like, and the thing is, I always tell you this, Cam, I always say this about these things, like, two things can be right. You know what I mean? It's not just like, oh, yeah, he got screwed. It's like, no, he wasn't that good anymore. He was a backup, and, he was at the end of the line. But he did get colluded against.
You know what I mean?
Like, two things can be true at the same time.
You look at the quarterbacks who are in the league. He still should have been in the league. He just wouldn't have made that much money. And you know what? He was standing up for what he believed in. I don't have a problem with that.
Game Time Decisions, Red Heat and Rage Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You can give us your opinion.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your Daily Roto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Game time decisions, ready to rage on radio, fantasy sports on radio network. I'm Jim Morency. Man, Twitter's so annoying. There's like so many fake accounts and fake this. And there's all kinds of Bryce Harper signed with the San Francisco Giants, but it's fake.
Not true.
Fake, 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 fake. You know, when I lived in Montreal, Cam, there was a wave of counterfeit money in the city.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah, it's a serious crime, though.
Oh, right? It's very serious. I know. I've had counterfeit bills before, received, not created, but yes.
So it was like a Burger King. They were all over on our neighborhood, man. And it was at this Burger King, and somebody, like, you know, people were going to the Burger King, and basically, like, people would buy, like, a French fries or something, right, for, like, 99 cents.
Yep.
With a 20, right, and get change.
Yep, beautiful.
You know, get to 19 bucks and then split, whatever, and split, get the fries and split. And in the Burger King, what I just said, fake, fake, fake. Once the manager of Burger King started, like, yelling at, like, one of the, like, clerks, like, one of the teenage kids. He's like, you stupid idiot. He's like, these are all fake, right? And he's like, he's taking them out. And like every fifth bill, like in the till, was fake. And he's like pulling them out. He's like, fake, fake. And then he's like, fake, 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 fake. And he starts like really freaking out. And he dropped the guy, Cam.
like roundhouse?
The
punch.
No, the manager attacked the employee.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, these are fake, you stupid. And he lunged at him and started, like, throwing the kid around, like, into the French fry machine. And, like,
yeah, like the hot oil there. Yeah, that'd be dangerous.
Oh, and the coworkers were, like, freaking out. Like, the cops came. The manager got fired and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, there was, like, a counterfeit. There was, like, a little, like, sting going on in the neighborhood. It was, like, it was crazy, too, because everyone was paranoid. It was like, man. Even if you get, like, one of them back, right, they're going to think you're in on it. Because, like, they were, like at stores and stuff, man. Like, cops were walking in and stuff. Yeah, let me see your 20s. Like, it was that bad. You know what I mean?
It's always
like
20s.
People, the thing is, they were damn good, right? So yeah.
Quality paper.
They were good. So people were getting taken in left and right. Like you said, the genius thing, the best counterfeiting scam ever, I think it was the Iranians or the North Koreans that did it. Like, he's like Kim Jong-un, people think, like, oh, he's lobbing missiles and stuff. That's all for show. His real deal, Cam, is he's a hustler. Like, that's how he makes his money. Like, basically, like, he stole, like, $200 million in Bitcoin. You know, like, he hacked into an account and he stole the Bitcoin. Like, North Korea have, like, an army, Cam. It's like a warehouse type thing. There's, like, 3,700 of them. And all they're doing is, like, stealing people's credit card information.
Yes.
And, like, bitcoins and, like, counterfeits. Making fake Gucci's and, like, Rolex. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like, you name it.
Great,
like, whatever,
like,
they can come up with. You know what I mean? Like,
they're extravagant clothing market, like, black market clothes. And it's good now, too. No, I just watched, like, an American Greed on it. Like, these Prada bags and Gucci stuff, like, it's hard to tell, man. Like, the stitching
is almost
perfect.
But, like, they steal the designs. Like,
yeah,
they'll just
hack
right in and just say, oh, this is what they're doing at Walmart. Just rip it off. Like, right? Like, or so. They steal. So the counterfeit, like, the real good ones. It might have been Iran, I think, that did it. But basically, they knew. They were like, listen, counterfeit bills are always, because no criminal enterprise has the wherewithal to do counterfeit for a dollar. Like, it costs money to do it. You know what I mean?
Paper. You need it for it to be good.
What,
you need,
you're
going to
walk into stores.
Exactly.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, how do you move it? Like, a dollar at a time? Well, you can't buy anything for 5 cents. Like, the beautiful thing about, like, a 10 or a 20 is you can buy a pack of gum, you can whatever, and then you get the big change back, right?
True.
So a dollar, you can't do anything with it. But they knew that. And they were like, man, and they basically realized, like, they don't really even check for $1, like, fakes in the same way. Like, they, and the ones didn't have, like, the same sort of, like, foolproof things because they were only ones. Like, they, you know, the governments are always ahead. Now it's impossible. Like, if there's, like, chips in this stuff. But, like, so they're always ahead of the curve. So, basically, I think it was, like, one of the North Koreans or Iranians. They basically made them. They just made fake ones. It was sort of genius, right? Like, they went small, and they got away with it. Like, they flooded it, like, I don't know, man, like 50 million in, like, fake ones type thing. So, yeah, all that to say, I just, when I said fake about all these Twitter accounts, I got a flashback to the Burger King and the dude saying fake. And then, like, a second later, fake! And then finally, fake! And then finally, he started throttling the kid. So, yeah, Colin Kaepernick, we don't know the exact amount. He gets $60 to $80 million. And, you know, like I said, to me, it's just the irony of he wasn't that great anymore. Like, he was at the end, kind of, you know? Like, he was still okay. I would compare him to, like, a Tyrod Taylor, except I think Tyrod Taylor's better at this stage. Like, look, everybody's mocking Joe Flacco right now. They played in the same Super Bowl together. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like, times pass. Like, that was 2011. You know, it was a while ago. Or, excuse me, it was 2000. What year was it?
2012.
So, yeah, same things. You know what I mean? Like, it was a long time ago. And, like, Kaepernick, yeah, he's in better shape than Flacco or more athletic, whatever. But Kaepernick wasn't the same after Harbaugh left. Like, he lost interest. Like, even when Harbaugh was there, like, I'm a Harbaugh fan, and, you know what I mean? So I know the dynamic between the two. And Harbaugh used to tell him, what, even when they were going to the Super Bowl and stuff in the NFC Conference Championship game, that, you know, you got to be more, like, sort of, like, you got to be more of a leader and talk to the players more. Like, players liked them, but he used to wear headphones in the room. And
yeah, I don't like that.
He was detached, you know what I mean? Mm. He was a nice kid, but he was detached. And it was basically because he was shy. That's what's ironic, that he is who he is now. So he's sort of shy, and he just wanted to play. And Harbaugh, look, Harbaugh, you know, they were good with Alex Smith, Cam, right?
I 13-3 good. Yes, yes.
And Harbaugh knew, man, this kid's special, right? I can use him in this way. They created that, you know, the option play, the run.
Yeah, that was the original RPO. It was with Colin Kaepernick. Yeah. That's when everything changed.
They created this. Harbaugh and him were like the dynamic duo together. Yeah, it worked. You know what I mean? And Kaepernick was driven and in shape. And it's, think about it, Cam. Colin Kaepernick in that Super Bowl that year, what was his move? He used to kiss his arm.
Yep.
And he had, like, kissed big arm. And, like, he kissed the bicep. And, right?
More wrestling move, yes.
Harbaugh split. Harbaugh got fired. It got ugly and whatever. Harbaugh was gone. Colin Kaepernick hooked up with this chick, went to Europe, and came back, and, like, all the muscles were gone. You know what I mean? He was, like, there's pictures of it. Like, he came, they were like, holy shit, what happened? Like, is he sick? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
So he never had the big afro before, right? He came back, suddenly he had the big afro.
True.
He was all skinny and stuff. And they were like, is everything cool? And he was like, yeah. And then suddenly, you know, then he starts showing up with Fidel Castro T-shirts on. You know, he sort of got woke, as they say today, Cam, the kids. You know, the chick was the one that sort of, you know, and him going overseas, and, you know what I mean? Like, he sort of changed
a
bit.
Different dose of reality.
Yeah, but I don't, you know, it's not wrong. Like, I'm not criticizing for it. Yeah. If people go to Europe, people go overseas, their perception of the world changes, right? But it happened overnight, sort of, and he came back, and then Chip Kelly was the coach. And everybody thought, and including myself, everybody was like, holy shit. Can you imagine Chip Kelly with Colin Kaepernick? And what kind of offense they could have? Even though Harbaugh wasn't there. And I remember all this. And the first meeting they had, Kaepernick was like aloof and was really sort of disinterested. And I remember Kelly was like, wow, that was kind of disappointing. Like, I was hoping he'd be excited, right? And then it just continued and continued. And then it was then that he started. He showed up with the socks, with the pigs, his cops on them. And the fact of the matter is, he wasn't playing that well in camp. Like, he wasn't strong. He wasn't enthusiastic. He lost his job to Blaine Gabbert. And then he raised it up a notch with the protest. Like, that's sort of like the truth of what happened along the way. And, oh, yeah, Kelly also tried to, he said, if you don't want to be here so much, leave. And at Denver, Elway offered him a deal, but they wanted him to take a $4 million pay cut.
That's right.
And he said no. Right? So, hey, it is what it is. We'll hit it more on the other side.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Game Time Decisions, Red Heat and Rage Radio. We'll get Steve Merrill on in the next segment. We'll do 437 with Steve Merrill. We'll take some of your phone calls. A lot of stuff to get to, and a lot of stuff that actually gets people going here today. You know, the Kaepernick stuff gets people. I thought we were just going to AAF, a couple of Daytona 500 picks.
Yeah, vroom, 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 vroom.
Little NBA All-Star rookie sophomore, and we'll get through the show. But, yeah, it's one of those hot shows today, you could tell.
Hot shows. Hot shows.
With this Kuchar stuff. Of course, Drew's chiming in. And Drew's not the only one, but one of very few defending Kuch on this El Cheapo. But Ryan Whitney, longtime NHL veteran, now NHL analyst on the NHL Network. I guess he's also on Barstool. Just tweeted, in a crazy sequence of events, Matt Kuchar just picked up a quarter John Rahm was using to mark his golf ball. When asked to put it back, Kuchar threw down a nickel and walked away.
That's great.
Like, dude, you're getting carved by NHL players now. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
But Cam, he doesn't seem to care. You're saying he's playing well, right? He's just grinning away.
Like, I told you, he's got the permit. He couldn't care less about your opinion, Ryan Whitney's opinion, my opinion. He doesn't care. He's got the perma smile. He just hit a birdie putt. He's 3 under. A couple rich old white guys, cooch, cooch. A couple guys are like, you know, boo. Like, you know what I mean? They're not as happy as they were before. It's kind of like a mixed bag, a mixed gallery at Riviera. But you know what? And the more I think about it, it's actually disgusts me even more, because the thing is, he might have not even won that tournament with his regular caddy. Like, the Mexican caddy that stepped in had extreme course knowledge, helped him out in so many ways. Like, when you're in a situation like that, you almost want to give the guy extra than what you're supposed to give, because it's not going to happen again. But anyway, he did the opposite.
This is gold, okay.
He's just
this is gold. So Jeff Shackelford, he's a senior writer,
golf writer. Week. Yeah. Shackelford.
Yeah, golf channel, yep. A contributor.
Yep.
Jeff Shackelford, he's on the course. He's covering it. Someone's just said on the 6T, Cam, go low, Coach, go low. Just not on the gratuity.
That's great. Yeah, I just Kuchar's unbelievable, though. Like,
he got booed earlier in the day, but like you said, some people are cheering him.
They're cheering.
Like, of course they are. People are like, hate Mexicans are showing up.
Yeah,
like, that's what it is.
Yeah, the racist crowd's coming in at
no, because they always
just
what it comes down to. He's lucky to get what he got. It's a lot of money there. It doesn't matter. It was a PGA event. You know what I mean? You screwed the guy. Like, there's no way around this. Like, there's no way around this, Cam. Like, Kuchar's a jerk-off. He just, you know.
It's not just like he was some guy working in the pro shop. He carried your bag for 4 days. He was your caddy. You do everything a caddy's supposed to do. You get paid what you're supposed to get paid. And the fact that you lowball the guy, as I said before, you have no local knowledge. The guy knew Mayakoba Golf Course inside and out. He makes $200 to help out rich tourists when they go down there to golf. You know what? That's the crazy thing to me, Gabe. If it was me or you, I would have actually given him over what you were supposed to give for for all the things that he did. And he won. It's not just that. That's the crazy thing about this. You give your guy a percentage. He won $1.something million. Like, he won the event. He didn't finish T8, T13, whatever. He's got so much money. And it's like, oh, yeah, just here's your scraps, buddy. Anyway, J.B. Holmes just jarred out for eagle or a hole-in-one there. It's something crazy. But, yeah, Kuchar's, I'm done with Kuchar's game, the nice guy routine. I always wonder, like, people like Kuch. Like, Matt Kuchar, to me, just one of those guys. Like, I don't think he really instills any, like, he does nothing special to even be, like, a fan of him. Like, to me, he was just a golfer that was very good who wins a lot of money.
It's just
like,
a generic guy.
Like, Tiger, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, Tiger Woods, you like his emotion. Other guys on tour, you like the game. Like, Kuchar's just, a guy that plots around the golf course, better than average golfer who wins a lot of money. It's not like he does anything special, but, you know, some of these golf fans are just idiots, too.
Michael Collins, ESPN golf analyst.
Oh, yeah. He's not impressed.
Yeah, Michael Collins, now he's taking it back a little bit. He's walking it back. He said...
he's got to interview him, right? It's kind of like...
We did on his own podcast, though. So he's got his own podcast, Matty and the Caddy.
Okay.
Michael Collins, former caddy, actually, has caddy. Like, that's his thing. And he said, Kuchar is the biggest phony on the tour. The whole smiling thing is just an act.
Told you.
So, now, though, I see... Yeah, so now, though, some Collins here is on Twitter now. To set the record straight, Matt Kuchar's been nothing but nice to me. I was happy to see him win, and even more happy when he won with his regular caddy, my friend at the Sony Open. But I do completely disagree with how he has handled this situation.
Okay. That sounds like a lot of backpedaling there. Going from
You weren't misquoted. It was your own podcast. Like you said it.
I got to tell you something. Like, when you go from saying that's a big step back, a phony. Like, when you call a guy a phony, that's like, it's almost equivalent to what we talked about, goof. Like, a phony is a pretty, when you call a guy a phony, that's a really mean cutting thing. That's say you're just not a real person. Like, you're a complete dick. And for you to go from phony to, oh, he's always been nice to me.
He looks like a phony.
Yeah, he is. Guy is a phony, but whatever. Like, you know, he's out there playing golf. I don't know if he wants to be Mr. Nice Guy. The guy's an assassin when it comes to winning money. Like, he's like, we talk about Phil Mickelson and, like, you know, the way he could be a snake oil salesman. Like, him and Phil in a company. Oh my God, the things that would happen in the boardroom, Renzi. I wouldn't even want to be around. That's a greasy boardroom. A lot of people getting grifted. Like, imagine those two. Like, that's snake oil sales right there at a high like percentage.
they're just sleazeballs, these dudes.
like Jim Furyk's a really nice guy. Like, there's some nice guys on the tour, down to earth. Like, Jim Furyk's a hard-working, you know. He's a really nice guy. Like,
Everyone's locked into this $50,000 number. Kuchar, really, first time you win in 4 years. Should have just given a guy 10%, even a regular said, hey, here's 100K or at least like 60 or whatever. Giving a guy 5K or 4K,
it's such a low ball. Like, that's the thing.
$10 bills. And it was in 10 and 20s, Cam.
You got to be kidding.
So basically, he's, you know, I swear, it was in 10s and 20s and 50s. So, man, you know what? Did Kuchar just sort of like go through his bag and give him the scraps?
That's what I told you. He's got that money clip, okay? He's to polish off. I'll put the hundreds here. Da-da-da-da. Oh, there are the tens. Unbelievable, man.
I like Deadspin's line. Extremely rich golfer from Matt Kuchar defends stiffing caddy.
it is a stiff job. You read the story about the other guy who gave more. There's guys on the web.com tour who are winning $37,000 that still give like a couple grand of their paycheck, right? So, like, what are you talking about?
Cam Piercy.
Yeah, Cam Piercy. He needs the money.
He tweeted, I won $23,000 and I gave the caddy He won $29,000 and he gave him $2,900. He gave him 10%.
That's amazing. Like, you know what I mean? That's a great chunk of change. Like, and these guys are on like mini tours trying to get by. Kuchar's made so. What was his money? He's going in at
46 million.
47. Yeah, I thought it was 47, 48. Yeah, 46.
Well, whatever.
Million.
Yeah, after this year, up there.
Yeah, after this year, way more than that. But yeah, he'll win millions more. He's already won over a million in one tournament. So, yeah. Anyway, I don't care how you defend it, what people say about it. It's a cheap move. It's a stiff job. And, you know, whatever. It just tells you his character. The guy's a cheap ass. We talk about bad tippers.
He's probably going
like
to
win story,
this week now.
I hope he doesn't win, but he's 3 under already. I can tell you one thing. He's going to get another paycheck. It's like the story we talked about, like Jeremy Piven going to the bar at the upscale Japanese restaurant. And, you know, instead of leaving a tip for his party, he leaves a signed copy of Entourage. Like, are you kidding me? I think the waitress threw it at his head. Like, what? That's so. I'm not even getting a tip. You're thinking that this autographed copy DVD of the show that you star in is going to be equivalent to money? Well, you're a complete idiot then. A lot of people, the nerve of people, man. Like, if I was serving that table and that happened, I'd be raging. Waitressing's a tough gig. You know, it's hard work.
Celebrities always think that everyone loves them.
Yeah, well, they don't.
You know, and even
people
though
like to get paid, right?
Yeah, like very few people are that famous that everyone's going to like them, right? You're always just going to be a niche person. And I heard a Hollywood agent once say that he said one thing that all celebrities have in common. He goes, they all think that you want to talk to them when they're drunk at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
They basically that's when they're all wasted bitching to the agent. Hey, get Don on the phone.
Yeah,
Don on the phone. Don, what the hell's going on with that movie, dude? You know what I mean? Like, that's what he's like. It was a great line he had. He's like, yeah. He goes, they never call 4 in the afternoon. He goes, it's always like 4 in the morning.
And drunk and angry wasted call.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
The drunk and angry celebrity call. Are you effing?
Hey, man. Just looking at the golf, too, Morenci. Jordan Spieth leading at 7 under. He was in the exact same position last week. Let's see if he can hold on. Like, I don't know what's up with this guy.
I like the way he was looking.
That's the thing. He had a 7 under bogey-free round, smooth 64. But remember, I had him last week at 22-1 when he was playing great, too, and then the wheels fell off. So he has this tendency to play really, really well and have a blow-up round where he's like 4 or 5 over. We'll see what happens this week. But you said it. He looks very, very good so far. Tony Finau, who you talked about as a value pick, T3 right now, beautiful 5 under par. Justin Thomas, 5 under par. Really bothered me. Justin Thomas, I have him first-round leader. He took a double bogey. I would have tied Spieth and won a couple $100 there with my first round bet. But anyway, lots of good names. And Hadwin, T16. So a lot of the DFS guys that we talked about lingering. And they're going back out to try to get some holes in before play tomorrow, too. Like, they finished the first round right now. So, you know, they're a little bit behind, but they're making up time right now.
I think I'll pat myself on the back for a nice tweet that I put out here, Cam. I said, Colin Kaepernick is the first quarterback in NFL history to get $80 million and not play a game since Sam Bradford.
Yes,
it's not bad. Yeah.
No, if that was your joke at the roast, I'd be like, hey, that's a good opener. Good opener.
Yeah.
Sam Bradford. That's true. Now, Sam Bradford's stealing, too. He doesn't have to sue anybody. That's the beautiful thing. He just sits back.
Sam Bradford should be sued by the NFL. It should be the other way around.
Yeah, exactly.
NFL team sue Sam Bradford, want money back. Game time decisions.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Game time decisions, Red Heat Rage Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Man, a lot of stuff going on, actually. We have a lot of sports to get to, a lot of picks. Babano will join us a little bit later on. There's actually an active shooting situation. On a more serious note, we hope everyone's okay. I know there has been people that have been shot in Aurora, Illinois. Let's see if we get the quick update on that. Shooter apprehended. All right, shooter apprehended. That's good. Workplace. It's like a workplace. One of the guys that Someone got shot at. He got out. He was real casual, too. He sounded like one of our guys in the ad. So what happened in there? I says I lost the weight. they asked him, like, they were like,
I'm walking 12 miles, feeling good.
Yeah, like they're like, we're now joined by a man who just like escaped, and he's like, yeah. He goes, guy next to me got shot, bleeding pretty bad, and he goes, I just walked out the back door. Like, you know, he's very calm and everything. And he didn't share anything. Like, they kept have to pull everything from him. He's like, they're like, is everyone all right? And he's like, well, there's some people been shot. And they're like, did you see the shooter? And he's like, yeah. And then he's like, quiet. And they're like, wow, what is he? And
what does he look like?
Yeah, finally the anchor says, he goes, does the shooter work there? Do you know him? And he's like all sheepish, like, yeah. He goes, yeah, I know.
Sorry, I shouldn't laugh. That's funny, though.
Yeah, I know. It's just like total, like it's like reality TV, right? Like, yeah. He's like, yeah, I know. He's like, yeah, he's a coworker, and they're like, oh, so coworker, and they're like, you know, they're like, so is he angry about something? He's like, well, I guess so, and you know, like he's all calm. I guess he is. Like, yeah. So we hope everything's all right. Let's bring in a Steve Merrill. Right, now let's get back to the Kuchar cheap tipping stuff. Let's see what Lucky Steve, owner of a Chinese restaurant, has to say about this. Steve Merrill, what's up, Steve?
What am I commenting on?
Matt Kuchar's cheapness.
Oh, Kuchar's cheapness.
No tip, Steve.
You know, it's funny. Tipping is one of those things that's really kind of screwed up in society because you always over-tip more than you under-tip. You know, it really should be for service, and I love tipping someone that does good service, but the bad thing is bad people get tipped like 20% nowadays. And if you don't tip them well, they think you're cheap. Like, you know, or you can leave a penny, which is I would never do that. You know, I guess that's how you make a statement. But I've always said, like,
true.
You know, if you go back to a place where you know the person, or you know, if it's a friend of yours who's the waiter, or you know the owner of the restaurant, you know, I always tip more because you get something back for it. But I've always thought if I was a celebrity, it'd be tough because if you ever didn't tip well even once with social media, it'd be all over the place. So I have thought about that in the past.
It is true. The it's like the NBA. Everyone gets paid, right? So, you know, basically, I, you know, even if I don't really like the service, I'm generally still leaving 20% anyways. And if I really like it, you know, sometimes I'll go a little over, I'll round up or whatever. But I just generally tip 20%. All the time. I'm a pretty good tipper, though, like for delivery guys and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
I won't stiff them. Like, even if it's, like, a $10 order. Like, the other day, I ordered Chinese food. It was $11. I gave 15.
15.
Least, so four bucks.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a good play. It's a good play.
Yeah.
Okay, here's what's really even. It's based on the percentage of the overall bill. Like, if you'd ordered one extra carton for $10, there's, like, no extra work in that, really. But he gets a couple dollars more based on a percentage, you know, or if you're at a nice restaurant. That's the other thing that gets me. Like, buffets get screwed all the time. People at buffets, you know, because they're taking your table off, you know, five times, taking plates.
That's a great point, Steve. The buffet worker, like, they got to clean it all up every time, replace. Yeah, it's a
And yeah, you feel I lived like, in Las Vegas.
Can I fill up your drink for the 20th time? Yeah.
I lived in Las Vegas and
yes,
ate
Gabe?
At the buffet all the time.
Okay.
Try to leave a tip on the table after.
Yeah, you do. You do.
At the buffet.
Oh, you definitely do.
Yeah, you do. You do. But I'm just saying, in terms of what they get for what they do compared to other people, like they're busting their asses. And some of those
and they're leaving,
are pretty
people
sloppy.
Think it's 10%. And they think it's 10% because you didn't order with them. So they actually are on a cheaper tab.
Yeah, but,
and they're getting a smaller percentage and they're probably doing more work.
Yeah, but this is like this is one thing too that bothers me about the whole tipping thing. And I don't mind tipping, but the process is whacked. You think like I was at a bar. You know, I've been in a bar where I didn't like one of the waitresses. You know what I mean? So I'm like, I'm not ordering from the chick. She's like, you know, she's rude, like or whatever. And then you know, you're like, oh, the other one's nice, and you give her a better tip, whatever. They all split the tips anyways.
Yeah,
so exactly. Yeah.
That's the annoying thing, right? So, like, you can, you know, so, like, in the buffet places and all that, everyone's splitting everything. There's a big war, actually, to get political. There's actually a big battle about this. And, like, the casino owners and basically Sheldon Adelson and Steve Wynn were pushing Trump for this. And they were about to get it done and passed, but Steve Wynn's scandal and stuff, the government shutdown. They didn't sign it in time. But it was they're pretty evil. They wanted to take people's tips from casinos, Cam. So basically, all casino workers that get tips would have to split it with casino management. Like, i.e. wow. pit bosses wow. and management.
Oh, that's crazy. That's so stupid.
It's just stupid on their parts. I mean, you want your dealers to be making people happy as you're taking their money. It's just dumb.
I know, but that's just let's screw the little guy, right, constantly, right?
Like, but it's
that's
not even a good business move, though. It's not even a good business move, though.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of bad
That's sketchy. That's sketchy.
Was it a good
business
move for the NFL to blackball Kaepernick and have to pay him $80 million?
Yeah.
He would have been played out of the league anyway since he wasn't that good?
Yeah, but Goodell, you could do a case study of CEOs who just inherit jobs throughout the family that are unqualified. They're like C-average students, you know, the fraternity presidents. Goodell's a textbook example of that.
Yeah. He is bad at his job.
Yeah, he's getting paid a lot, though. He's doing quite well.
He's a yes man for the owner. When you really break it down, though, he is. I mean, they don't want somebody that does that job well. They want a puppet.
Steve Merrill with us. Yeah, man, everything's got to blow up. Just like Kaepernick stuff, people getting angry, and Kaepernick sucks, and blah, 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 blah. And, like, there was a big thing about Kaepernick. So today, so I bring this up. Cam, you brought it up in the update. About Kaepernick wanting $20 million to play in the AAF, right? And I'll tell you right now, there's no way in hell. Kaepernick knew and damn well knows the AAF doesn't have $20 million to give him. Secondly, Bill Polian is essentially the commissioner of the AAF. I'm going to go out on a limb, guys, and tell you, Bill Polian is not a big fan of Colin Kaepernick, all right? Thirdly, the AAF is on the NFL network, all right? Colin Kaepernick suing the NFL. Bill Polian and Ebersol said their goal of the AAF is to have the NFL give them practice roster players.
Yeah, feeder.
You know, that need reps.
That's what they want to do.
Yeah. Not that, you know, and I don't think signing Colin Kaepernick is the type of thing that you're doing when you're trying to get the NFL on your side. I'm telling you right now, they used Kaepernick's name to pimp the AAF. That was cheap press. Why didn't this offer come out if they offered this deal, like, I don't know, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, when it would have made a deal for real? It's not. They did it in week two, Steve, when they need a little press, coincidentally, the day before week two action. Oh, AAF gets in the news. I'm telling you, I'd bet money, Steve, that this was just marketing garbage.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it's actually smart marketing garbage because, I mean, obviously,
get your name out there.
Yeah, exactly. And Kaepernick's more than happy to go along with it. And who knows, maybe there's a backroom deal in the settlement for the NFL lawsuit after all of this. You know, that wouldn't surprise
Kaepernick
me.
Doesn't care, exactly. He's like, whatever. And it's almost the number that it's funny. Like, he says, yeah, $20 million, essentially what starters get in the NFL, right? Like, basically, he throws that number there. But it's just funny that the AAF and this whole story came today, and then, boom, the settlement comes. AAF gets their pop. Kaepernick gets his money. NFL, Kaepernick now has to shut up about the NFL and move on. So everybody's a winner today. And, you know, I wish it never went down the way it did, you know. But it is what it is. Like I said, Kaepernick did lose his job to Blaine Gabbert at first, and he sort of lost interest in being a top-notch quarterback. And, you know. So what do you got, Steve, for us? We got this NBA All-Star Weekend, rookie sophomore, and, of course, we got Daytona 500 this week, too.
We remember, Gabe, about, you know, 5-10 years, more than 5 years, probably about 10 years ago when we were doing shows, you and I used to just load up on the sophomores against the rookies, and it cashed year after year.
Yeah.
They started getting smart, making the line 10.
They broke it up,
points.
Those son of a bitches.
Exactly. now they've done the damn tree hugger international thing. And it's at the world.
Yeah. You know what, though? The international tree huggers have been beating the Americans. And they're 3-1. This is the year 5 now. This is year 5. And I tell you what, the Europeans have blown them out the last couple of years. I like the Americans tonight, Steve. They're almost a sophomore team. We got Donovan Mitchell. We got Jason Tatum. We got Kyle Kuzma. Then, you got De'Aaron Fox. You throw in Trae Young to hit some threes. The only thing is the Europeans seem to beat the crap out of these guys all the time.
I think it makes a lot of sense because there's no question that the world players, the Europeans in particular, are better skilled basketball players than the Americans nowadays. The Americans are athletic, but the Europeans are usually better shooters. They usually are better ball passers, dribblers. So I think that makes sense. But what does concern me, as you mentioned, I was looking at the rosters last week, actually, when they first came out, and I did feel like the sophomore edge was more on the American side with the experience and teammates. So I think it's kind of a wash tonight.
Got Ben Simmons playing tonight, but how much is he going to play? He's on the world. The world team's good. The world team's good. I'm going to roll the dice and go with the Americans. The total's 289.5. It's a pretty sharp number. The All-Star game on Sunday should sail over the number. All right, Steve, so we've got a couple minutes here. What about the Daytona 500 this week? NASCAR tips off.
Yeah, I mean, the disclaimer, as always, is on these restrictor plate tracks, Daytona and Talladega, it's just random. It's very difficult to handicap. Practice times do not mean anything. That's usually what I look at when handicapping races, to know which cars have been strong during the weekend. Usual suspects you could look at, but there again, the big one takes out half the field normally. But all things said,
Keselowski's been pretty good at this stuff.
Right. That's what I was going to say. The two best drivers have been Logano and Keselowski the past few seasons.
Clint Bowyer they like too, Steve. On my book, they got Bowyer at 7, Keselowski at 7, Logano at 8, Harvick, Hamlin, 10. So that rounds out the top five. A lot of people like Clint Bowyer.
Yeah, he's on that Harvick team that was fantastic last year. And keep in mind, both Eric Almirola, who took over Danica Patrick's car last year, was one of the best drivers in the circuit suddenly. It tells you how bad Danica was in the 10 car. But Bowyer also, who had struggled with other teams, comes in and was competitive as well. They're both Harvick, and Almirola's been good on these type of tracks also. So I think Bowyer, Almirola, those are two guys people probably aren't talking about that'll be in contention.
What about Danica's ex-boyfriend there? He's a good play racer, isn't he, Stenhouse?
Yeah. I saw him as low as 8-1 at one spot. I think the secret's coming out on that one.
Is he that low?
Wow.
But you're right, Gabe. I mean, he's been the one guy that's been tremendously better on these tracks than anywhere else.
That's the thing with this, though. People always say, wow, the restrictor play race is anything can happen. But it is usually the same dudes that are sort of in the top five, really. They're better at it. But every once in a while, you'll get that 40-1. You'll get that 30. Like, there will be... You know, like that Wall Trap or Trevor Bayne. You know, Cam, like, what's a golf tournament like that? You know what I mean? That, you know, like when Bob May, whatever the hell this guy named, you know, when some fat guy comes out of nowhere wins a major.
Yeah, Bob, that was actually a PGA a championship. Like, a tournament like that where, like, any, like, John Deere or something like that. Is that what you're talking about?
No, more like the U.S. Open. Like, sort of, what's like the major one where it's.
Oh, the PGA Championship. PGA Championship.
Yeah, so, like, it's sort of like. It's random, you know what I mean? Like, NASCAR's like that, where the plate races, once in a while, a random guy will win, but you sort of have to be good at the plates to do it. Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com, one of the coverage experts. Thanks, Steve.
Later, Steve.
Game time decisions. I don't know what the hell Yang's doing with that.
I don't know. He goes, what the hell is this? He doesn't know, Gabe.
Good thing the levels are low and I can barely hear it.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
I think we hit the techno.
Yeah, I don't know. You go to a party tonight? Party tonight?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Gramps, you got some glow sticks?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what's going on here, baby.
Yeah, you got your rave tunes on there, Yang.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining. Whatever.
No, I could care. I actually kind of.
At this point in my life, I don't care anymore. Yeah.
It's Friday, too. It's like, yeah, it's actually.
Play
not
Ruby
too,
Tuesday
not too bad.
For all I care. Play CCR.
Ruby Tuesday. On
hey,
Friday.
I have a neon That's light right. headband right now.
She should play that song, Neon Nights. That'd be better, actually. Neon Nights. Black Sabbath. Look that up, Yang.
See what I can do, buddy.
Neon Knights. Neon Knights. Neon Knights. Yeah, beautiful day in New York City today. It's like 60 degrees right now. Pretty crazy.
Beautiful. It's like, that's hot.
Yeah, it's really strange, man. Like, one day it'll be really cold. The next day it's nice and summery. Next morning, I go out and the Hudson's like, there's like chunks of ice and like there's like seagulls stuck to the ice. You know what I mean? Like every day is like it's different. It's always an adventure, but it really hasn't. You know, it's been a pretty pleasant winter, to be honest with you. I haven't heard no complaints for me. Whatever, man. It snowed once or twice. Like, not compared to what you're dealing with or what I see every day online. I mean, man, it was snowing in Vancouver the other day.
Yeah, no, it's
Not that it never snows there, but I'm saying like it was like blanket
light rain,
like snow everywhere type thing.
Yeah. It's like you don't see like there. It's more like you know, little sprinkles of rain, a little bit of this.
The weather sucks there. Like it's been worse, Cam. Like I was there this winter, and it was warmer in New York than it was Vancouver every day. Like I checked, because people in Vancouver to live there. Listen, it's a beautiful city. It really is. I love the city. Big fan. Beautiful city. But one thing is people that live in Vancouver seem to think, like, that the weather is better there than it is everywhere else. And they're delusional. like I know someone in Vancouver, God bless him, and he's always, like, he's boasting. What's the weather like on the East Coast? Ha, ha, ha. I'm like, it's actually +9. He's like, oh, what? No. I'm like, yeah. And I look at Vancouver. I was there. Vancouver's damp in the wintertime because it rains all the time, right? So it's not cold, but it's damn cold.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Back to live updates, fellas. That's the best.
Yeah,
that's the Neon Knights. It's
Iron Man. Wrong singer. Sabbath, Yang? Come on, man.
Wrong singer.
Neon Knights.
We gotta go through the
look up. I mean, like get
go through the catalog.
We love Yang, but yeah.
We love Yang.
If it's not there, like yeah. Just play it off of YouTube or whatever, dude. Neon Knights.
It's Rave Night.
There we go.
Yeah.
Do the update.
Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid have resolved their grievances with the NFL. Not many take on the league and actually win. Cap and Reid will not continue to pursue their collusion lawsuit against the league after the NFL settled with them today. Yeah, financial terms not revealed due to confidentiality. But we know, Gabe, it's not going to be chump change. Colin Kaepernick.
80 mil.
Some say 60. Might be 80. 80 mil. That's a lot of bread.
Goodell.
Woo. Roger
Goodell.
Where's
the cash?
Where's the briefcase, Roger? Colin Kaepernick has been out of the league for the past two seasons. Hey, this all started back in 2016 when they decided to kneel together in a pregame national anthem ceremony, and now we've come to this. Wow, unbelievable stuff. Kaepernick filed his collusion case against the league back in November of 2017. Reid followed Kaepernick by filing his own in 2018. The settlement confidential, fellas. But as Gabe said, there could be $80 million at stake.
I told you.
That's a lot of bread.
I told you guys like last week or when we started doing this, the updates would be so much better with music. See, I was right already.
Yeah, I like
you
it.
Don't even say it, Cam. Just do the update normally, and it'll work organically. It's better already.
It's nice. Well, Antonio Brown's going to meet the Steelers, Gabe. The 7-time Pro Bowler under contract for the next 3 years carries a cap hit of $22 million. The Steelers say they're going to consider trading Brown, but they're not going to release him. The Bills have released Charles Clay, tight end. $4.5 million. Say save some money next year. Anthony Davis, what's new? Hurt again. Yeah, well, he's really wailing in this tune. The New Orleans Pelican Center suffered a shoulder injury last night. Did not return. He'll get treatment for the injury status for Sunday's All-Star game. Unknown. Davis averaging 28.5 points and 13.1 rebounds in 44 appearances. But the Pelicans, they're not done. The team firing GM Dell Demps today. And Gabe, old friend, Duke alum, like a whale capper, Danny Ferry, has now been named the New Orleans Pelicans interim GM. He was currently a consultant with the team. We got the festivities tonight. Things get underway at 8 o'clock. World All-Stars, American All-Stars. Team USA laying 3 points. Over, under, 289.5. USA on the money line, -160. Team World, +140.
USA in the first half, minus 1.5, total 145.5. All-Star Game Sunday, Team LeBron, minus 6.5 over Team Giannis, total 310.5. That's a lot of points. Team LeBron, money line, 270. Giannis, plus 230. In baseball, the Yankees and pitcher Luis Severino have agreed on a four-year, $40 million extension, including a club option fifth year. Severino, a real weapon for the Yankees since coming back in the league in 2015. Across four seasons, the 24-year-old, 41-25 record, 3.51 ERA, and 572 strikeouts in 518 innings. That's good stuff. The Angels entering the mix, hopefully to get Mike Moustakas there. And play resuming at Riviera. Damp, cold, and wet. The first round completed earlier today. Jordan Spieth leads the way after a bogey-free. 7-under-64. They're heading out for round two. Notables, Tiger 1-under. Dustin Johnson 2-over. Rory McIlroy 1-over. Daytona 500 set to go this weekend as well. On my bookie, here are the odds. Clint Bowyer and Brad Keselowski, the co-favorites, at 7-1. Joey Logano 8-1. Kevin Harvick and Denny Hamlin, 10-1. Four games in the NHL tonight. New York Rangers and Buffalo Sabres, minus 150, total 6. Edmonton versus Carolina, Canes, minus 180, over-under 6. Jersey at Minnesota, Wild, 260. That's big. Total 6 there in Boston, laying 180 in Anaheim, total 5.5. Friday night hoops action, game number 25, Buffalo taking on Toledo. Bulls, minus 4-160. And in the A-10, St. Joe's and Davidson. Davidson, minus 10, 138 there. So, hey, we got a lot of stuff going on. Keep it locked. It's Red Heat and Rage. You're right, Gabe. I really like that music in the background of the updates. We had Steve Merrill, our buddy Bobano, will join us. We'll talk some more betting and stuff. In the DFS hour, we got lineups, NBA All-Star Weekend, and so a hell of a whole lot more.
Next time, you just have another song ready to go. Well, yeah.
Another music, man. Yeah.
Yeah, just have another metal song, like Start After. And already we're getting requests for a hip-hop 6 o'clock news update.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. Yeah, Yang, you love hip-hop. We'll put something, maybe some Far Side or something old school underneath the beats, and we'll do a hip-hop, kind of like our Super Bowl halftime show update for 6.
Absolutely, I got you. Hip-hop is my specialty, baby.
Well, there it is, Yang. I don't know why, Gabe. Yeah, good stuff, Brent. Fantastic stuff. And in the next update, I'll get you odds for the slam dunk contest and Taco Bill's skills contest and the three-point shooting competition. We're going to run the gauntlet, buddy. Odds, bets, everything. We got it here in Red Heat and Rage. Take it away, Yang.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Game time decisions.
Level 2, game time decisions. Red Heat Rage Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm Gabriel Moretti, throwing it down with Cam Stewart. Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano, will join us in the next segment. In a couple of minutes of time, we'll run the gauntlet. As Cam alluded to, it's NBA All-Star Weekend this weekend. We've got the skills competition tomorrow. We've got USA versus the world this evening from Charlotte, North Carolina. So basically, as Merrill mentioned, it used to be a rookie-sophomore game.
Correct.
And the sophomores used to kick the crap out of the rookies all the time, and it was kind of free money. Now, Cam, they've went to this world format, and the world, as Steve stated, I mean, you see the fundamentals of NCAA basketball, the kids that come in for the most part, they don't really know much, you know what I mean? They can dunk or hit a three, and sort of wander in between. The basketball IQ isn't great. There's a few players with a high basketball IQ, but it is true. The European players are just a bit more polished. But I look at this U.S. team tonight, and for like an all-star game setting, and listen, they know that they've lost three of the last 4 years. Like, it'll come up. Like, you know, there's no way that they don't realize that, hey, the world keeps beating us here. I get the world has some good players tonight, but looking at the U.S. team, Cam, I mean, Donovan Mitchell is going to kill it in a game like this. He's like a real all-star. Like, he's a top-notch player. He's going to slay it, and he feels like he got screwed last year to Ben Simmons, right, for the rookie of the year. And Ben Simmons is on the other team, but Ben Simmons is playing in the real All-Star game. I don't think Mitchell is. So, like, tonight, Donovan Mitchell can go at it. Jason Tatum, kid's like a little star, man. He's like held back because of everyone in Boston. He'll light it up tonight. Kyle Kuzma's a scoring machine. You know, both you and I both said, hey, man, you got to take Luka Doncic over Trae Young. But as good as Doncic has been great, but you got to give Trae Young credit, Cam. Kid's scoring like 16.9 points per game or something like that. He can hit a three, this kid. You know, like the U.S. has some ballers on the team tonight. I think they can win this game. I mean, and I'm not betting my whole account on it, but I'm taking the Americans. USA. USA.
USA. Minus three. Yeah, it's only 3 points, too. So, you know, that's not a bad line there if you want to put something together. I like what yours do. You know what I like? Your Mitchell play, where he talked about wearing the Patrick Roy, ROY, rookie of year jersey. Maybe looking for him at the MVP price. Get a little value there.
Yeah, I said that today, actually, on the morning show.
Good play. Good call. Get in on it.
That's like plus 760.
That's a good price. I've seen amazing ones out there, too.
Lovano. And how about Orlando? They're going to win that division. I'm going to get in on that play.
Yeah, you better put it in.
They won by like 40 last night.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, hey, Lou. See this is good game. Music too.
Yeah, yeah.
CC that's good.
Colin Kaepernick, Eric Reed getting money from the big league. Down, down, down. Where, everybody's crazy for Luka Doncic. Hey, Gabe, I got to read this promo. Luka Doncic's a lock to win the 2019 Rookie of the Year. MyBookie.ag sees no reason to make people wait until the end of the season to receive their winnings. So they're paying out $150,000 in winning tickets for those who bet Doncic during the season. For the unlucky ones who didn't, should he not win the 2019 NBA Rookie of the Year, MyBookie's going to double the payout on the player who does. But wait, there's more, friends. Now you can bet on Zion Williamson to be the 2020 NBA Rookie of the Year at 3-1 odds. If Zion does not take home the title, MyBookie will refund all of the bets. You literally have no risk. So head on over to mybookie.ag, open up an account with the promo code FNTSY. The Luka Doncic and Zion Williamson props will go on through Monday, February 17th, and MyBookie will match your deposit up to $1,000. That's right, I said it, $1,000. That's mybookie.ag, promo code FNTSY.
It's a great great promo, man.
Excellent promo. I just put some more money in the account for some golf matchup bets, too. Click, 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 click.
Really is. So you have until, the 17th to do that.
That
so
is
basically,
correct.
You put $100 in, guys. You lay it down on Zion Williamson, plus 300 to win the Rookie of the Year next year. Hey, why would you want to bet $100 at plus 300 and have to wait 13 months to get your money back? Well, because if it wins, you get paid. If it loses, they refund you. So they refund you.
A win-win scenario. You don't get many of those.
Wall Street, they call that a good deal. Let's bring in a Babano right now. Ian Cameron, rightwager.com. What's going on, Babano?
We're ready for another weekend.
Well, I thought you'd come out singing for sure after that ZZ Top.
We're ready for another weekend. I love it.
I could barely hear the music, to be honest. Yeah, I could hear some faint music. Yeah, it was a sharp dressed band. Okay.
Levels are low, I know.
Levels are low.
See, that cost us an opportunity for karaoke. That's a shame.
Just listen at six. Level. Yeah, we'll be back, Babano. Music at the update, buddy. How are you doing?
Even though it was a normal words, but it was still kind of a creepy and awkward intro. I'm ready for the weekend. Like your intros, Babano, they're like the new Chris Collinsworth slide in. I'm telling you,
exactly. Yeah,
I was
remember
expecting
how Michaels
to sing.
Is in the shot, and then Chris Collinsworth just the pops up and he just slides over into the picture. Yeah, yeah.
Slide in.
Yeah, he does the
slider.
Slide
he's a real slider. Slide in.
Yeah, I don't know why they do that.
Like, I know it's stupid. Just like doing naturally. Like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like because they're in this little booth, and then he sort of like slides in as Michael starts talking. Hey, Al.
What's like, up?
And then we, they tried to Witten tried to rip it off. It was so goofy.
Yeah, it didn't look
good. I love how Joe Buck always has to tell us when he comes on at, before the game, and my partner, the Hall of Famer, Troy Aikman, is coming up in just a second. Yeah, we thought you were doing the game by yourself, Joe. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Well, he's introducing him, Abano. Well, come on. It's called formatics, Babano.
Yeah. We get it. Troy's with you all the time. It's buddy else for football.
Yeah, yeah, but you think everybody that's tuning in to Fox knows who Troy Aikman is every day? It's casual people, Babano, watch this stuff.
Super Bowl time, I could see it.
Why then? Why say Tom Brady's name during the Super Bowl? Then everyone knows who he is, right? Like it's they got to say his name. I mean, there's worse things you could pick on Joe Buck than he introduces his partner.
my issue with Joe Buck is he looks like he wants to like you know caress Troy Aikman sometimes. He gives him that longing look, like you know what I mean.
Yeah, but you know what?
Gazingly. But
that's the problem with the booth. That's the problem with the booth.
It's too small. Too small.
They're all too close together all the time.
Yeah, it's a very good point. They are very close.
And I swear to God, notice Al Michaels been around for a while, and even he's somewhat awkward, but he's pretty normal. Yeah. Like, look at Tessitore. Like, Tessitore's been on TV a million times. He's done like big games and stuff. But when you look at him and he looks in the camera, it's awkward. Like, he's tailor-made for, like, the, I hate to say it, like, the radio or the voice. Like, he's a good play-by-play guy, but you'll notice most of them are awkward. Like, they all have weird grins on their face. Like, watch, like, any typical play-by-play guy in a booth. And they ask, like, all right, Steve, you know, Steve Tasker with us. And, you know, so Steve, and then, like you said, their faces cam are like inches away from each other.
Yeah,
and
yeah, very
like
much.
Spiro Ditas even does it. He has some weird grin on his face and nods his head to everything. Then you realize you're like, yeah, man, all those play-by-play guys, they're geeks. They're the type of kids that didn't play sports. They called sports. You know what I mean? They never, you know, they're geeks. They're nerds, but they're good at calling sports. But they're very, very awkward and stuff in front of the camera, and it's just sort of. Buck is different. Like, Buck, you know, Joe Buck used to bother me because I used to think that, like, he was just so arrogant and, like, oh, God, this guy thinks he's so great. But he's toned that down, I think.
He has, actually. And I'll give you that.
He's very good. But I think he's better at baseball, though, than football. Like, baseball, he's the best. Football, he's just another guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah. No, you're right, though. Yeah. Before he kind of had, like, the condescending kind of tone, but you're right. It's over time, it's been dialed
he's toned
down
it
a
down.
Lot more. Big time. I think somebody talked to us and said, listen, you can't come across as the smartest guy in the room. It pisses people off kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. Well, he got older.
He's up to his enthusiasm, too, for football, which he had to do. There were times in the Giants Super Bowl, touchdown, or what a catch by Tyree. The big catch that I remember in that Super Bowl against the Patriots. I mean,
but he's like old school, right? He doesn't want to be cheesy. Yeah. Like, so he's...
Yeah.
He doesn't do like the screaming or the cornball stuff. You know what I mean? He considers himself like a classic sort of announcer, like Gus Johnson. You know, imagine Gus Johnson doing the Super Bowl would be great.
But that's why Pat Summerall. That's why I don't criticize Pat
Patriots
Summerall for
have won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, he would have been losing it. But that's why I don't criticize Pat Summerall for not showing excitement, because he just had that powerful voice that it came across so good, even though he didn't have to raise his voice. Andre Rison does the dance in, and Favre got going in a hurry. That was Pat Summerall in a nutshell. Yeah,
hey, smooth.
Oh, Pat Summerall. Voice.
Pat Summerall is Dr. Smooth. Like he's like a
broadcaster.
He
didn't say anything.
He's got a scotch. Yeah, he didn't talk a lot. Yeah. Man, a few words.
Man, a few words. He didn't
he's
say
like
anything.
His
classic
like
call.
Nursing a scotch.
He would just say
that's what the Patriots were waiting for. You know, he just had a great, powerful voice. Yeah.
Well, he did NFC stuff, Summerall. Summerall's call, classic call, was just simple. Touchdown, Cowboys.
Yeah.
That was his call. No, that was his call. That was his signature call, Babano. Like, touchdown. Like, that's all he said. Touchdown, Eagles. And
it worked for him. He had the great
voice. He'd let Madden do it, right? Madden was the Pats
well, tell you about there. Yeah, I got the turkey egg.
And like you said, Cam, and Pat Summerall, God bless him, one of the best. He was drunk all the time, right?
Yeah. He sounded like I go like to bars. He sounds like that's how I talk to guys at the bars. Like, he had like the drunken
sound.
Kind
he wasn't
of
pissed drunk. No.
Harry Carey.
Yeah, Harry Carey was drunk. Harry was like, "Welcome back to Wrigley Field." Yeah.
He was slurring drunk.
Harry Carey would get drunk. Summerall was like grandpa drunk, sort of with the flask. So he sort of had that.
Yeah, good call.
Don't tell me what to do. You know what I mean? Like he was together, but. So he sort of just had that cool sort of slur, touchdown, Cowboys.
Exactly. He wasn't pissed drunk, Beach. It was just a little minor slur type of speech for Pat.
A lot of those guys, you know, were sort of a little buzz, right? He admitted after it was too much. You know what I mean? Even Scotty Farrell tells a story about, like, when he did the NHL, he was really into it. Like, and it was like all the Atlanta Thrashers, and no one noticed, but... He even talked, in an interview when he was talking about, he's like, you know, start out with a beer in the first period. It was all good. You know, you're at the hockey game doing a game. And he goes, you know, for about 10, 20 games there, I was about 10, 12 beers deep game after two periods.
Well, that's the thing. He had to drink beers during the game because he was watching a team that was so bad. That's why, yeah.
And then, like, basically, Ted Turner wasn't so happy. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
things change.
Yeah, it's fine line.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
All right, we want to wish all the best to everyone in Aurora, Illinois. Sounds like it's pretty bad there. Multiple officers down, shot. We know one person's dead, shooter apprehended, so I don't think the shooter's dead, but multiple injuries, at least one person. So hopefully we don't get doesn't get piled on after this. Game Time Decisions, Red Heat and Rage Radio. And just quickly on another thing, I'm seeing on Twitter people are bitching about an Amber Alert about in Toronto, I guess, or in Ontario.
Yeah.
I even saw Stacey, Salacious Stacey was tweeting about it, that local news was like, should you get Amber Alerts or whatever in the middle of the night? And I'm like, I'm thinking too, what are you guys, like idiots? Is this like, are people so self-centered and like, is like, are their phones only made to take stupid pictures of themselves in front of a mirror on Instagram? There's a kid missing. That's the whole point of technology, so they can spread the word quickly.
That's the point.
People are pissed that they got, like, that's typical Toronto, dude, in Ontario. Like, that's pretty pathetic. Like, it's like from a chick throwing a chair off the balcony.
Sorry to interrupt your 10 minutes of beauty sleep, bastard. I mean, really, seriously.
Yeah,
like,
to this.
What are we doing here?
People complaining about this.
It was serious.
People are just like idiots. Yeah. Like,
no, it was a very serious situation. 11-year-old kid kidnapped in the family. And, no, you're watching the show. They want to get the broadcast out there. The car was heading on, you know, the 401. They get an Amber Alert. So if you see this person coming, it's a dead important situation here. Like, you know what I mean? You got to get it out there. And it has to go on all the devices. It has to do that because we have a kidnapping situation going on here. You're right, Marenzi. It's just, I don't get it, man. Like I told you, I like the world better, like, a hell of a lot a long time ago. Me and you used to talk about, like, pagers and stuff like that before selfies and everything else. I long for an earlier time, friend.
And the thing is, there's evidence that the police departments, when they issue these Amber Alerts, that the system works. They have a very easy, much easier to track down missing people. It's a system that works. So they dispatch the messages and the Amber Alerts, and you hear the siren, the alert, through your phones, your cable and satellite television receivers as well. You'll see it on the screen. And it was absolutely appalling, I think, to see people bitch and complain and to actually call 911 call centers. 911 call centers to complain about the alerts in the middle of the night.
Yeah, that's
we apologize.
That's about- That's another thing. You're a senior citizen. You have a heart attack or something, right, Gabe? You're jamming up 911 lines for people that are actually like sick and, or could be dying to what, bitch and complain about a sound effect? Really?
It's ridiculous. Crazy, what do we do? You know, it's the people that have no attention span, no patience, that don't think through the situation, that there's someone's life at danger, there's someone's life at risk. My first thought, because I have no patience, no attention span, is how did it affect me? Oh, you interrupted my TV show. Oh, you interrupted my sleep at 12:30 a.m. or whatever it was when it happened. Oh, you interrupted the movie I was watching or whatever the hell you were doing last night at that time. They don't think through the severity of the situation, and unfortunately,
we
get
it. We get the poor Ben.
It's horseshit.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
Just quickly on this too, Cam. You were bitching about Dollar Beer, so you can get it now. Dollar Beer debuted in Ontario today.
I wasn't really bitching about it. I was just saying though,
it's called No Name Beer.
Yeah, it's called. Well, the thing was, when you say you're gonna do buck a beer, it was 20. The cheapest 12 was $20, so it's not a buck.
There's a review here already on it,
On New Frills Beer. Let me take a look.
Said I tried Ontario's cheap beer, No Name Beer, and this is my honest opinion. I tried Ontario's new no-name beer, and in my opinion, it's worse than you would expect it to be.
Really? Yeah.
That's pretty bad, then.
And he's saying he wasn't expecting much.
So that's telling me, like, you're basically saying it's like if you got a Laker and a Steeler, and it's like a Laker and a Steeler are probably like 100 times better than this beer, we got a problem. We got a problem with the brewery. That's the thing. It's kind of probably hard to brew a buck of beer when you think about it and make it a good product. Like, it's one of those things that... You know, like, you know what I'm saying, Bretsky? Like, what are we going to do? It's that stuff we talk about, that steel in a tin that you're drinking, where it's not regular stuff. It's putting people in orbit. You know what I mean? It's not regular alcohol. It's dangerous.
Like he says, the beer is advertised as light and malty, crisp and easy to drink.
That's great.
All right, Babano. So. What do you got for the so if you want, you can go get blasted and buy a 12-pack for $10.45 of this piss water.
$10.45?
Okay. Yeah.
It's under a buck a beer.
So, we'll get yours. We'll let you sample it, Cam. I'm not touching the stuff.
Yeah. I'll try anything.
So the battle, all-star stuff tonight. Any opinion on the rookie sophomore, or you got any opinion on the college basketball? What do you got for us? We got AAF football. We've got the NBA All-Star stuff this weekend. You got college basketball, NHL. What do you want to hit, Babano? What's your best pick that'll win and make people want to go to rightwager.com?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I mean, when I look at the college basketball, I got nothing tonight. It's a very, very tricky card. I know a lot of people like Toledo. I don't. Buffalo just killed them in the first meeting, and Buffalo is the best team in that conference. I know they've been a little susceptible lately. I haven't played as good lately, but Buffalo's not a team I look to step in front of. Nothing else on the college hardwood. In the NBA, the Rising Stars Challenge, I don't have a big bet on it, but I took the world in this game, +3 against the U.S. Isn't the U.S. always a little bit overvalued and a little bit, their line's inflated a little bit in these kind of games? I mean, I think the world roster's
pretty
good.
The world's won 3 of the last 4. This is the fifth year in the format, so 4 years, and the world has beaten them 3 out of the 4 times.
Yeah, I kind of like the world, catching points. I mean, I think they can win the game, and I can get 3 points with them. I'll take it. I look at the roster.
You're part of the world.
Yeah, exactly. Look at it. Just look at it. The one Raptor in the game is playing for the world, OG Anunoby.
Yeah, yeah,
you've got
Shea
Gilgeous-Alexander, my Hamilton compadre
right
here.
Exactly.
He's from Hamilton, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, the Clippers. So, yeah, he is. He's a Hammertown guy. Good guy to cheer him.
I thought he was from, I thought he was from... I guess I did kind of know he's Hamilton. I didn't know exactly what town, but yeah, Hamilton, the area.
Larry Markin has played good lately for the Bulls.
Pickering is a place that seems like a lot of these kids are from.
Pickering's the east.
Scarborough.
That's the east part of the GTA, right, Morenci? You got the west with the
Babano. Doesn't
Babano
Pickering have a good high school football team, too?
Pickering's got a lot of stuff, too. It's got good sharp knives, good athletes. Yeah, they got a lot of things going on, Pickering, buddy. Nice power plant there. Yeah. Pickering. Oh, Pickering.
They got a lot of things up there, buddy. Remember my shitty cell phone? It wouldn't work. I'd pass the Scarborough Town Center. I'd see what I see, the Ajax sign. I'm like, wow, I'm done.
The minute you hit Ajax Downs quarter horse track, that thing's dead. You go.
No publicity. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
It's great service.
I know.
20 minutes outside the city. All right.
I like the NHL. World.
All right, so you like the world.
I am the world. We are the world. Yeah.
All right. NHL hockey. New York Rangers at the Buffalo Sabres. Sabres -150. You've got the Edmonton Oilers at the Carolina Hurricanes. Canes are big favorites, -180. Total of six there. Total of six in a Rangers and Sabres game. New Jersey Devils are at the Minnesota Wild. Wow, Wilder. Massive favorites at -270.
They should be that.
And the Boston Bruins are at the Anaheim Ducks, who got that win the other night.
Bruins will win.
Can they win again?
Yeah, I know that sometimes Anaheim. Yeah, Anaheim won for the first game after Randy Carlyle got fired. Most teams do. I don't think that's a sign of things to come, though. That was a one-off. I don't think this team's very good. They're not. They're slower. They're older. They're playing poor defensively. They rallied the troops for one game. I don't think that's a sign of a turnaround. If you ask Bob Murray and you tell him to tell the truth, I'm sure he'll say he'd rather his team not make the playoffs, because I think he's got to completely rebuild this thing from scratch and start over with Anaheim.
Not making the playoffs.
Yeah, no, they're actually still, you know, only a few points out, like 6 points out of the second spot. But, yeah, the way their form has been, I mean, they're not going to get back into it, in my opinion. Boston should win that. So should Minnesota. I mean, New Jersey's in a tough spot. Second night in a row on the road. They lost in Chicago last night. You know, Bruce Boudreaux with the old vote of confidence saying, we're making the playoffs. Let's see how his players respond. First game since
That's
he
BS.
Said that the other day. Bruce Boudreaux.
They suck.
Bruce Boudreaux usually has no problem making the playoffs. It's winning in them where his problem usually is.
Minnesota's fraudulent. They're not very good. They're a bad team.
-260.
They're bad, but
they should win the game, Gabe, but laying 260, I don't even want to put it in parlays. I'm just going to pass on that.
Can't do it.
You do the Bruins in the Wild, but I don't want to do that.
I prefer another game.
Carolina Hurricanes, -175. Canes seem to win a lot, except when I take them, so I'm not taking them.
Yeah, it's a bad spot for Carolina. They're back home after a long road trip, but you're going to ask me to trust Edmonton to do anything? No. Flat out no. So that's a pass. The Rangers kind of interest me at a plus price. I don't know if Buffalo should be laying that big of a price. Buffalo's not played great hockey of late, and I kind of like the over. I like most of all the Rangers at a plus
Buffalo
price.
Buffalo beat the Islanders the other night?
They did. Yeah, they got the job.
I don't know, man.
The Islanders got the win.
Yeah. They're 3-2-1 on this. 3-2-1 on the 7-game homestand. So. That was their longest homestand of the year. So this is the last game of this homestand. This is a big game for the Sabres. Like, they, you know, like, remember Jack Eichel was bitching. Remember, we talked about it, Cam, when they were 2-2-1. He said, it's not good enough. He goes, you know, other teams are winning games. We're just neutral, and we don't take advantage. Yeah. He was getting surly. Nice win against the Islanders the other night. And 4-2-1. Big difference, guys. It's like betting, Babano. Big difference between 4-2-1 and 3-3-1.
Big difference.
Yeah,
big difference.
Yeah,
no, I mean,
I kind of
like
this on this homestand.
I kind of like
the Sabres kind of play tonight.
So do I. But I like Babano's a good capper. Like, he just looks at it from the perspective of, you know, the Rangers played the Jets tough. Jets did lose to Colorado the other night. I was on that, but I lost with Montreal. But you know what, Babano, a lot of value, but I think the Sabres get it done at home. To your point, Gabe, they know how important this game is.
And I do think there's goals in Minnesota. Minnesota defensively not been the same since Mikko Koivu went in, got injured, and New Jersey gives up goals every night.
It's true. Good call, Babano.
All right. We'll get Babano's AAF thoughts on the other side. Game time decisions. Ready. Rage Radio continues. Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire. We'll be right back.
Game Time Decisions, Red Heat and Rage on Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I am Gabriel Moretzi, throwing it down with the Rage Arena, Cam Stewart, Ian Cameron, RightWager.com. Cool enough to be joining us right now, spending some time with us. Ken Mazzari likes that promo, tuning in right now, but Zion Williams says, just $100, Ken. Zion was like, can I put more than 100? And they'll give you none. It's just 100.
100 is still good. Yeah, 100 bucks. Build the account,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah.
No, it's
just
and they also match for new clients. You get a huge bonus there. And existing clients, too. Like, I put a little bit of money in for some, like, live golf wagers and stuff. They give you a 25% bonus there, too, for existing customers. So it's a good spot.
Oh, here we go. Just quickly, we'll get to the AF here. Got some breaking news. I don't want to upstage you, Cam. For
you're quick. Don't worry. You can tell me, and I'll input it.
Matt Kuchar has just spoken.
Has he?
I let myself, my family, my partners, and those close to me down. I also let David down. I plan to call David tonight when I'm off the course to apologize for the situation that he has been put in. And I have made sure that he will receive the full total amount he has requested.
Why don't you just do this from the get-go? guy doubled down on it.
For him to do this, to say I let my partners down, sponsor, Skechers, someone told him, Cooch, you better get out there and say something. Yeah. For him to say I let my partners down, my partners down, I sponsors down. There's no way you know he didn't do this without pressure of one of his sponsors. One of his sponsors probably threatened to call his agent and say, dude, we're going to pull it. We can't have this guy selling Skechers if he's stiff Mexican caddies. You know, like,
can't have him selling Skechers. Love the commercial, too. Hey, you want to play another 18, Cooch? How about another 36, guys?
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, 36, okay. Is that what he says?
Yeah, the commercial.
Because he's stiffing everyone. He's not paying the green fees.
That's right. He didn't tell you he's already six shots down to his buddy for 50 grand. Let's play another 36. I'll get you back.
He doesn't care, Cooch. I guarantee you this is forced on him that they told him, hey, Cooch, no more TV commercials, dude. Every time someone sees your face, they're going to go, that's the guy to stiff someone. Right? Like, and the worst part is for him, like you said, Cam, it's too late now almost anyways. He just did this on Friday. It's Friday night. It's going to get lost in the Kaepernick news, NBA All-Star weekend.
I know.
It's everything. So it's too late. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're an idiot. Like, you already, people already know you're a jerk, and now it still costs you the $50K. It's just funny. Like, man, people are like, it's the irony. Okay. AAF football, Babano. It's week two. Doesn't seem to be a ton of line movement, actually. And for the record, you know, I bet on it. And you know, I know you bet on it, and people talk about it. But the action wasn't massive, like at the sports books. Like, they took more action on the Pro Bowl type thing. It was degenerates, you know what I mean? It was betting this stuff. But they did get good media coverage. It'll be interesting to see if more people bet on it this weekend. But I prefer this because the Arena Football League that I used to really be good at, I love betting it. It was frustrating, guys, because the arena lines would come out, and if you didn't bet it, like within seconds, there'd be like an 8-point swing and stuff. You know what I mean? It'd be like, oh, they're -2. Next thing you know, minus 11. Like, because they didn't really know what they were doing, and they were sort of all over the place. And now with this, they sort of seem to, their power rankings seem to be pretty sharp. And there's not a ton of action on it. It doesn't take a lot to move the lines, but Salt Lake Stallions at Birmingham Iron. Birmingham are -7, totals 44. It's tough to get info on Josh Woodrum, whether he's playing or not. Arizona Hotshots, -13 at Memphis, a total 46. Those are the Saturday games. Sunday, probably the game of the week, Orlando at San Antonio. Apollos, -6, Commandos, +6, total 44.5. I think it was too low in that game. And then you get Atlanta and San Diego. And San Diego are -9.5, but I'll tell you what, Babano, the Legends, they got lit up last weekend. They got lit up. They didn't have a preseason. They kind of did, but you know what I mean? The scrimmage preseason that they had, they got killed. They kept score. They got killed in that game. They've been outscored like 77-16 or something in their two games. Their little get-ready game and then the real game. Atlanta might be just that bad, actually.
Well, there's two teams that look like the worst teams right now, Memphis and Atlanta. And right away, there's no way I make a case for them this week. I don't want Memphis. I don't want Atlanta. Now, it doesn't mean for sure I'm running to San Diego and Arizona in those two games, but I will not be on Memphis. I will not be on Atlanta.
I'm running to Arizona, Babano.
Yeah, I will not. Like, I will absolutely not be back in either of those two teams unless I see something this week where there is a, just a little bit, where there is massive improvement from those two teams on both sides of the football. I will not be touching them for a long time. I think they've got bad coaching as well. I don't like what Kevin Coyle's done with Atlanta. I don't think he's very good. We all know Singletary, legendary quote of his says, "I don't make halftime adjustments." Tells you all you need to know about Mike Singletary and the fact that he ran the football pretty much every time on first down last week. No ingenuity or creativity offensively. You can throw the football every now and then, Mike, on first down, but that's neither here nor there. Memphis was awful last week on both sides of the ball. They're sticking Christian Hackenberg back in there, giving him a second chance. I don't get it. I don't know what's going to improve all of a sudden in 1 week. The question is Memphis going to score? I mean, the offense was that bad. The O-line was terrible. And you could say the same thing about Atlanta. Their O-line was hideous against Orlando. So to put it all together, just connect those three games all in one, yeah, I lean Arizona for sure. I lean San Diego. One bet I've made so far, and I like this one, it is my best bet. It's San Antonio plus six against Orlando. I like Orlando a lot last week, but that was about as anti-Atlanta bet for me as it was a pro-Orlando bet. Seeing just reading the tea leaves and seeing how such a mess Atlanta was off the field. Brad Childress was supposed to be the coach. Suddenly he's not. Michael Vick's supposed to be the OC. Suddenly he's not. Turmoil off the field with their coaching staff. You know, scheme changes, system changes, bad quarterback play with Matt Sims last week was terrible for Atlanta. Orlando, don't get me wrong, they looked impressive. They really looked good with Spurrier, with the quarterback. Their offense was excellent, but I think a lot of that was bad Atlanta, not all great Orlando. I think they're going to be tested a lot more by San Antonio, who had a really good defense showing last week in their win. The only thing they got to improve on is their red zone offense. They settled for field goals too much. The Logan Woodside looked good at the quarterback spot. Don't underestimate the strength of that home field either, the Alamo Dome. 27,000 people attended that game last weekend. It was a loud environment. They were into it. They're home for a second straight week. No travel involved. I think it's a little overreaction in the number to how impressive Orlando was last week. San Antonio's no slouch, and I think they're going to show it.
All right, Cameron.
Yeah, a battle throwing it down.
.com. Rightwager.com. Ian Cameron, you can follow him on Twitter at Babano. All right, Babano, good stuff. Anything else you want to get off your chest before we get you out of here, or is that it?
No, I mean, that's about it. I'm looking forward to these AAF games. I'm into this league. Oh, CFL. I mean, it was a big week for CFL. Looking forward to that season started. Hamilton is having a viewing party in a couple weeks for the Grey Cup 2020 announcement. And that tells me all I need to know, that it's probably a good chance we're hosting the Grey Cup in 2020. So if that's
nice
indeed
battle.
True, long overdue. It's been 1996 since the last time we've hosted a Grey Cup. We're overdue. Let's bring the Grey Cup to the hammer. It's about damn time.
Oh, so a big viewing party, right, for the announcement. But the season ticket holders invited down, huh? Where's the viewing party?
Tim Hortons Field. Yeah, they're doing it inside the building, the complex. Yeah, I know. It's going to be in the there's a lunch, you know, where the players usually have their meals, pregame, postgame, and all that. There's a big, like, little foyer area there inside. So that's probably where it's going to end up being, yep.
So 2020, where's the Grey Cup this year?
That's actually a good question. I know it ain't here, but yeah, 2020. That much I know. Let me check that. You're right.
Is this Saskatchewan? No, I'm trying to think.
It's always out west, it seems. It's out west more than it is in the east, to tell you that much.
That's true.
It's in Calgary.
Calgary.
This year,
yep. Yeah, who wants to sit outside of Calgary in late November?
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, I think it might be us. Yeah, we're due.
1996, huh? It's a long time. Yeah, you know what? That's ridiculous that long. You know, well, the Grey Cup, Ivor Wynn wasn't really ideal, but there's been a lot of old-school classic moments. But now you got the new stadium, and Hamilton, yeah, you guys will do a great job with that. It'll be a big festivity, big week in the Hammer. Grey Cup 2020, good stuff.
Oh, yeah, downtown Hamilton. There should be some sights that weekend. Yeah, now we got to make the Grey Cup. But, yeah, there should be some sights downtown Hamilton that week. Grey Cup coming here should be a lot of fun. If it does, I'm thinking it'll be here though.
Yeah, well, but man, they're not doing it. Yeah, they don't have parties.
Yeah,
have
it, yeah, yeah exactly.
Yeah.
They're not going to say Orlando
Steinhauer's
back. Yeah,
yeah.
It's big time. Yeah, it's got to be something huge. Yeah, it's got to be. Yeah.
You know what though? It's going to be so big that I'm sure Mick Ossie will come to town with Babano.
Yeah, do a story with Babano.
Yeah, there Hamilton. We go. Mick and I. Mick comes to Hamilton. Exactly. Yeah, we'll show him the town. Yeah.
We know Bruce Chad's not going.
No. You know what, Bruce Chad doesn't see the outside of his front door, let alone another city in the province. Yeah.
I can't really knock the man for that. I don't get out very much anymore. Booba battle. It's cold out there.
Oh, you make appearances, Sam. You were just in New York City for the Super Bowl.
I was. Yeah. I'm still paying for that one, Gabe.
Me too. Still recovering.
What a painful distance that was watching that game. I still can't believe how.
Yeah, we worked the whole day.
Bored out of my skull. I was.
It's just one of those things that's just kind of like, you know, Bebeto, like when Zuerlein missed that late kick for the teaser to the under. I was just that was the final kick in the balls. You know what I mean? I was kind of just like, oh. Ask Gabe. I took it very well too. Like we've been betting for years. It's just one of those things. That's just like, yeah. I'm not gonna tell you it hurt. It hurt, but you know, it's life. You want to be in the game. Sometimes you're gonna get burned.
Nah, it would have been nice to get that teaser out of the way.
It would have been huge. It was a big play too, because I love the under. But anyway, you know how it goes, Marenzi. Sometimes it's just, you know, you lose by a half point.
Right. So
sometimes you're the dog, and sometimes you're the fire hydrant. Yeah, that's the way it works.
Yeah. Ask the fire hydrant for sure.
Yeah.
Or the pigeon or the statue.
Yeah. Statue. Yeah.
All right, Babano. So you didn't really see any. You seem to be on the fence with everything in the NHL. You do like the world in this, in this game tonight.
He likes the over in the Devils game. We both like the Bruins, but over it's a lot Devils. Of juice.
And San Antonio Commandos plus six.
Mm-hmm.
Total's 290 in this game tonight. It's sort of right. If you look at the past games, it's you know, it's one of the clock doesn't stop in this one, right? So it's sort of quicker than a usual game. They usually get like right around this, like 284, 279, 291. It plays to the under generally, this rookie sophomore game. It went over when it was in Toronto when we went years ago. We feel like 3 years ago it was a really high scoring one, but I'm not in love with the over, maybe a sprinkle to the over. But the All-Star game itself, in which we didn't hit, that's, everyone did. LeBron's team's good, but so is Giannis's team. But the total's 310, guys. Look at the results of the All-Star games. It's insane. Like, there could be a lot of freaking points put up on the board between these two. I think it's going to go over, even though it's 310. It's too low, I think.
It's a lot of points.
It's like 190.
Yeah, there's going to be no defense. Yeah, it could get there.
It's 192, 182, bro.
Yeah, that's a lot of points.
Yeah, if you're betting unders in these kind of games, it's because you think that the number's too high. And it's not going to be because you don't think there's going to be pace and you think there's going to be a ton of defensive intensity, because there's not going to be.
Well, there is in the NBA All-Star game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Right? Like these
the last
you're better off betting over in the first. No, they're always pretty. Like, it's the fourth quarter, they don't screw around. Like, the NBA All-Star game is pretty competitive in the play. It's actually one of the more competitive All-Star games. Like, it's way better than most of them. Like, they bring it in the fourth.
They do.
They want to get the MVPs and stuff. Last year, the score was 148-145, so it would have stayed under. Year before that, 192-182, 196-173, 163-158. Ian Cameron, rightwager.com. Thanks,
Babano. See you guys.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Time decisions, Ready to Rage Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Yang's the best. I hope you guys know it. We've been around the block a few times.
Good sense. I got my hopes up for nothing. I'm not going to wait a year for peanuts. We live day by day. See, that's short-sighted thinking, actually. Someone's willing giving you plus 300 free money or your money back isn't peanuts. Like, that's the
What's going on here? It's
somebody wanted to. He's like, can't ask how much is the promo for the Zion Williamson? Like, yeah, what, you want to put $500 on it, and they're going to give you like $1,500 back or whatever? Like, it's not going to work like that, right? So it's $100, but you get $400 back if it wins. Like, you ask yourself, like, if you put $100 in a bank and it sat there, how much money are you getting interest for that? End of the year, what would you?
Couple
have, like
pennies.
$101. $100.60 or something.
You kidding me? See my bank account. These guys penalize me at every mistake I make.
They're minus money.
They shake me down during the show. I get missed calls. It's not like a call that I want. It's TD Bank. These guys are. I don't know what the hell I've done to them, but I'm gonna have to go in there in person this week. And I didn't want to do that, but I'm gonna be strutting in there and figuring out what the hell's going on. I don't like it one bit. Told the guy stop calling me during my show. Anyway, probably something. Try to screw me on another mortgage rate or something, you know? Come on down. Hey, let's check your portfolio out there, friend. Yeah, okay. It's banks. They pretend to be your friend, too.
I think they're going to torment you that bank for the rest of your life.
I think so. Well, I got my mortgage with them, so yes.
Yeah, it's totally it's, like, yeah,
you another, at least another 20 years. Like, they're on my back, Moran. See, that's the monkey on my back, the bank, TD.
Fuck, I think I owe the money, to be honest. That
I owe, oh, yeah. Who doesn't? Who doesn't owe the money?
I'm just saying, yeah.
Who doesn't?
I just sort of turned off one of my phones, Cam, so I decided, I'm like, whatever. Anyone needs to get in touch with me, they'll find me.
Yeah,
so
find me the old-fashioned way.
Yeah, that's the end of that.
Bye-bye.
One.
Like, see ya. Delete. They gone.
Game time decision.